And now it's time for our next Tiny Desert Concert. And if you like video games or rap or inspirational stories for that matter, this one's for you. Meg Aran, a.k.a. Raheem Jarbo, is what's called a nerdcore rapper whose music celebrates, well, all things nerd. And while this might seem like a niche genre, and in some ways it is, Meg Aran is a bona fide star within it, and his fan base extends around the world. His music career changed in an instant a decade ago when one of his songs went viral on Reddit. His lyrics are nostalgic and inspirational at once, drawing on Jarbo's childhood experiences entrenched in the world of gaming. Meg Aran performed for us at ASU's James Turrell Skyspace, and I spoke with him more about his music, the upward trajectory of his career, and in case you were wondering, like me, what exactly nerdcore rap is.
Well, nerdcore rapping, I think the easiest way to describe it is just, you know how rappers are usually considered the coolest person in the room?
Yes.
We are the guys who are not. So the guys who normally get, you don't look like a rapper, or I would have never known you were a rapper. Usually those preface our concerts or conversations. But basically we're the kids who are products of technology. You know, the nerd aspect of it is just things that we are very passionate about that the greater society may call nerdy. So it might be comic books, it might be video games, it might be anime, it might be cartoons, it could be anything. But those things are so prevalent and dominant in the world of entertainment these days that I feel like it's a lot more relatable than anyone ever thought it could be.
Absolutely. I mean, so I've heard many of these references in your work, but give us some of the top ones. Like, where are you pulling your inspiration from in the nerd world?
Well, pro wrestling, yes. Comic books, and video games for sure. Mostly retro video games. Mm. I found a lot of inspiration in those.
How does that work? Are you just using things from your childhood or using stuff you're into now? Are you looking at Reddit and seeing what people are into and then looking at that and writing about it? Or is this more organic?
A little bit of awe, but mostly it's very organic, very vivid childhood memories. The things that I can't get out of my mind are the things that I write about. I have very specific moments of I remember sitting in front of my, you know, floor model television or my little black and white in my room and playing video games until I just literally couldn't see straight or, you know, and just remembering those very, very vivid moments, whether it's a musical cue in a game or a sound or a moment where you uncover the big secret or beat the final boss. Those moments are forever instilled in me. And so those are where I get my inspiration from when I write songs.
How does that cut through? Like, I imagine this gives you a direct line to a certain, it turns out, really big audience, right? Like people who can listen and hear, like you said, like a tone, like a sound from something like a video game when they were kids and go, I know exactly what this is and I'm with you.
I imagine that I was the only person who had these memories. and then when I released these projects, people were like, oh my gosh, I remember that too. Mm-hmm. Oh man, that took me back to a moment. And I just realized through doing this that I'm not as weird or different as I thought. And then you put out a record about it, and then you've realized that you're reaching an entire audience of the entire world,
yeah,
that people find it very relatable, and we can share experiences. So most of my concert time before and after shows is usually spent talking to fans about how those moments affected them in the very same way.
So let's back up for a few minutes then and talk about how this all came to be, because it's quite a story as well. You were not always a rapper. You were a teacher, in fact, and sort of made the transition. Did you always rap, though? Was rapping always part of your life, maybe on the side?
Yeah, I felt like it was one of those things I had to sit down to take life seriously. I remember my mother saying, like, all right, now, once you graduate from college, like, you got to sit all those things down. She's like, well, no, it's time to be an adult now. So, yeah, I taught middle school for 5 years. I did a 5-year sentence. It almost felt like a jail sentence. I mean, middle school is the probably the most challenging time to teach students, because they are literally going through changes in real time. Yeah. And I've actually found some sort of connection to them through my love of video games and hip hop, you know, where if I mention something to them, where they see me playing a song in class, they're like, oh, wow, what do you know about that song? You know, and we'd be able to relate to each other on that level, which helped me to get a level of closeness with my students that a lot of my older peers were not, you know.
What did they think when you said, you know, I'm leaving, I'm going to go do this full time?
That was a really emotional time for me because I didn't want to leave these kids hanging, you know, like I'm sure many, you know, adults had in their lives. But at the same time, I felt like there was no better time than the present. And I felt like I could really impact, you know, a bigger group of people by doing what I think I'm meant to do, because this thing just does not go away. You know, the more I travel, the more I teach, the more I do other things, the love for music keeps coming back. So I just feel like I have to try this, but I felt so bad, you know, just leaving these students. But one of my kids is a kid named Javier, one of my like kind of challenging students. He was, he would always often challenge me, but he gave me something so profound when I told him I was leaving. He said, you know, Mr. J, you're actually teaching us a really important lesson right now, that it's important to go after the thing that you really love. And I was just like, oh, wow. That was very emotional. It's very deep, Javier. Like, where'd you get that from? He's like, yeah, you're teaching us to chase our dreams, man. Like, this is important stuff, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so you're going to do a song for us now. Tell us what it is.
Yeah, this song is called Comeback Player of the Year. Now, the album is mostly about basketball and the importance of basketball and using a lot of the sports metaphors to explain life. And with us hopefully coming out of the pandemic, I feel like the best description is an award that many sports give out called the Comeback Player of the Year. It's when that person who persevered the most gets rewarded for that. And I think, honestly, we as citizens, for trusting science, wearing masks, doing what we had to do, we're the Comeback Players of the Year.
All right, let's hear it.
Live in the tiny desert. Here we go. Comeback Player of the Year. It's from the new album, Live 95. If anybody's even a little bit of a sports fan, they'll get the references. If not, you'll get the groove. Yeah, well, all right now. Yeah, yeah. Mega Ran and GN3. We back. Hey, hey. It's something like grandma mom with the cons on. Wig blowing in the wind. Gold tooth getting his shine on. I'm from a legend, the forged in the dirt. Not born, you gon' wanna see this. Hold on to your popcorn. Used to have a handle on life, then it broke off. Went from being busy and booked to getting no calls. I've been sitting up in the house for what seemed like so long. Now me and D3 back. Sorry that we prolonged, but we gon' make it worth it. Thank you for the purchase or stream. We keep it hot like a thermos. Should be wasting time, but what I do to mics, Kevin Hart. All of us say, had no regard for human life, man, we too precise. Push limits further and further, even Kevin Durant's gotta spread the word on this burner. KD Cam was murder, I was hoping for the payday. But this thing is system, we cruise like KK. Yes, I've been booed, and yes, I've been cheated. Yes, I've been loved, and yes, I've been beat. Yes, I've been down, but yep, we're still here. Guess we're the comeback players of the year. Down 30, it's still early. Clear the way, I close deficits in a hurry. Down but not out, that be a fact that we're the comeback players of the year. Undrafted, playing overseas, averaging 30 and never making it to the league. Still traveling first class like we were part of the team. Even Devin Medine, still living the dream, not quite broke. The salaries aren't close, but ask anybody who's anybody, I bet they know. He's a triple-double threat, DJ producing the rap. Basically the less athletic and shorter version of Shaq. Outstanding, clear the lane, I take off without planning. Quarantine, no days off without landing. I wrote a song about a Knicks player and then was rapping at the Garden a few years later. Sheer favor, hard work and discipline. Black Sox, but we're a long way from Michigan. Rap fans, they stressing me out. We spit game like Marv Albert. Yes, it counts. Come on. Yes, I've been booed. Yes, I've been cheated. Yes, I've been loved. And yes, we've been feared. Yes, we've been down. But yep, we're still here. Guess we're the comeback players of the year. Down 30. It's still early. Clear the way, we close deficits in a hurry. Down but not out, that be a fact that we're the comeback players of the year. If you made it through an incredibly crazy 2021 and beyond, you're the comeback player of the year. So we're giving it to all of you. Congratulations. We won, y'all. We won.
So, okay, let's talk a little bit about that next phase, because you have seen quite a bit of success and are continuing to grow. I mean, your mom, you know, told you you needed to do something more serious with your life. Are you surprised it's been this successful? You've been able to take it this far?
Yeah, it's been 10 years, you know, as of last spring since I've stepped away from my teaching position to make music full time. And that sounds insane, like having a 10-year career in music without being, I don't know, on MTV or selling out stadiums is truly a miracle. We're just very lucky. We've had a really dedicated group of fans, friends, audience members. I call them family. And my mom now, she can't stop talking about me. You know, the moment when I pull up to pick her up, she's telling a neighbor, "Oh, that's my rapper son. He's a star. He just won Phoenix Rapper of the Year, and he's traveling. He's been to Japan, and and she just can't stop gushing. I'm very, very proud for her to be proud of what I'm doing, and think of me and what I've done in a positive way.
All right, and let's have you take us out on a song now. Megaran, tell us about the next one you have for us.
This song is probably the, I guess, quintessential Megaran song. It's called Dream Master. It is loosely based on a video game called Little Nemo, the Dream Master. And it's about a kid who just has these enormous, larger-than-life dreams. And when he goes to sleep, they're just so vivid and they feel so real. And I feel like I've been in a little bit of the Little Nemo, the Dream Master myself, because although this life that I live now is something that I couldn't have even imagined, but when I sit down and I think about what I would have loved to be doing in my life, a lot of it looks like what I do now. So I'm very fortunate. And this is the story. So if anybody wanted to know like the story of Megaran, it's in this song, Dream Master.
All right, take it away.
Once upon a time, before beats and the rhymes, and before there was ever any random, there was a boy in the hood who always did good, so the bullies on the block couldn't stand him. And on Christmas and birthdays, he got a lot of presents, so many he didn't know what to play with. He had Transformers, He-Man, Ninja Turtles, Star Wars, but the G.I. Joes were his favorite. He was so creative, and if they didn't make the toy like he decided to create it, put Storm Shadow's legs on Snake Eye's body, then they popped, but then he duct taped it. They made spaceships while the big kids hung out on the block playing hide and seek and riding bikes. Used to try to get involved, but they told him, get lost. And that's when they started getting high. But I heard he got an A's and B's, and she just kind of wanted other's amazing feats. But all the while he wondered, if I'm so amazing, jeez, why does nobody want to play with me? He said, hey, hey. In school, that would be a colossal understatement. He had high water pants and Coke bottle frames and the mouth full of orthodontic braces. His first girlfriend was named Christina Perez. He took her everywhere. Now the boy is so cool, but she dated him on a dare and left him standing there without a clue. Man, kids can be so cruel. At the time when they couldn't love him any less, mother went and bought the kid an NES. At the time, she knew that the best way was getting out of the streets, although they were penniless. Only child, she didn't want an emptiness. And it's a healthier addiction than cigarettes. And so it began. How did he escape the scene? He sat in front of that screen, chased his dreams like, hey, hey, all right.
That's Phoenix nerdcore rapper Megaran performing for us at ASU Skyspace. He is on tour now and will be playing in Phoenix this Friday at the Trunk Space in downtown Phoenix. You can see Megaran's entire Tiny Desert concert on our website. That's theshow.kjzz.org. And if you're in a band or you know of one you'd like to hear play for us, send us a note. We are at theshow@kjzz.org.
Search for knowledge and develops the heart to make rap tunes. Vowed to stay true when he dropped his debut and did. He's got his little name up and it was money in the bank. But then he drew a blank every time his next LP came up. And so he thought back to childhood and how'd he survive in such a wild hood. But then he realized they didn't hate him. And whatever didn't